passages of Scripture before we get to our lesson text in Genesis 22. Those three passages concern one man, Abraham. As you know, he is called in Scripture a friend of God. And the three passages are in the New Testament. The first one at James. James chapter 2 gives you some background information on the man before we get to our lesson. James chapter 2, verse 21, where we read of this man. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Justified. Then there is in Hebrews chapter 11 this note about him. Hebrews 11, verse 17. Actually, there's a couple of places in Hebrews 11 that address him, but the 17th verse is where we want to be. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Great faith there. The third passage is in Romans 4 and the 21st verse. Romans 4, again, Abraham at verse number 21. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, these are all after-action observations that take us back to the historical narrative in Genesis 22. So if you would join me there, please. Those are observations, New Testament commentaries, as it were, about the man and about this incident that we are so very familiar with in Genesis 22. There are a couple of things initially to observe. There is, first of all, to be seen here an expectation and an expression of faith. You can observe many things about the words that people utter at the different times in their lives, the expressions that they come out with. And maybe this is not anything earth-shattering or even new to your study on this particular chapter. But let me share with you something that, as I was reading it again this past week, it just came to my mind. It says there in chapter 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And then please notice that in the verses that follow, we read Abraham rose up early and they left, took the wood for the burnt offering. And then verse number 4, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, and please notice what he says here, abide ye here. He does not say, go home. Abide here with the ass. And I and the lad, carefully now, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now think about that for a minute. Those words. Here, those are the instructions he gives to his traveling companions. Stay here. Stay with the animal. And Isaac and I will come back for the return trip. Now that's very impressive in light of what God told them in verse number 2. God said, I want you to go and offer him up for a burnt offering. And I want you to go to a mountain that I will tell thee of. And here, Abraham, either he's completely intending not to obey what was told him in verse 2, or he, according to what we observed in the New Testament commentaries, those after-action observations of the New Testament writers, had such a deep and profound faith in God and a comprehensive knowledge of God's perspective and viewpoints, he, without it being written anywhere, it has to be integrated into the whole narrative that God is basically holds it to be very abominable to require human sacrifice. And so the only thing that would make any sense in light of verse number 2's instruction was what we read in Hebrews chapter 11. Even if, as he was planning to do, as the text will reveal, even if that is done and his son is slain on the altar, God is able and would indeed raise him up from the dead so that when they come back down off the mountain and they go back and meet up with their companions, they can all go home together. So please see here very simply the expectation and the expression of faith. The expectation is that they were coming back, and the expression of his faith is what he said in his words. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Again spoken in the light of verse 2, and again faith finds expression at verse number 8. Because he's asked a question in the process of this all by the son. Isaac says to him, here's all the stuff, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Again, see this expression of faith on the part of Abraham involved in all of this. He says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide. Now, that's where he would get that information. God didn't tell him that. All God says, there's going to be a burnt offering. And inasmuch as God loathes human sacrifice, conclusion would be that, yes, we got the fire, we got the wood, there's going to be a burnt offering, so God will provide himself a lamb. Now, we don't even want to take into consideration the prophetic utterance downrange that brings us to when he talks about the lamb that will be provided and the fact that God will indeed literally, absolutely literally provide himself a lamb in the person of Christ for the burnt offering. Don't want to even touch upon that because I don't think Abraham at that point picked up on that much. We're able to see that looking back on it. But you see this again in this eighth verse, God will provide himself a lamb, response to Isaac's question that he asked in verse number 7. And so please notice what transpires here. They came to the place, laid the wood in order, Isaac's on the altar. Abraham stretches out his hand, takes the knife to slay his son, and he's stopped in verse 11. And he says, in verse 12, the instructions now come, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. And if you look down to the 13th verse, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram is caught. Okay? Where is he caught at? Where is he caught at? In a thicket. A thicket, thorns, and thistles. And where do you find the first mention in the Bible of the thorns? But you go back into the post-sin account where Adam and Eve were concerned, back in Genesis 3 and verse 18. And so he's the ram, the one that would be offered for the burnt offering, is found in the thistles. And so you have here I would say, without stretching it a whole lot, the sacrifice who himself became sin for us, the Lamb of God in John 1:29, indeed became sin for us. He got caught up, he was made sin in the sense that the thistles that we were entrapped in, he redeemed us from. And so in verse number 19, we conclude with this. I like what it says in verse 19 because it reiterates the confidence and the certainty of what he uttered in verse number 5 when he says, so Abraham returned unto his young men, just like he said he was going to. So there you have three things. You have the expectation and expression of faith, and here you have how faith is to be envisioned. Abraham in verse 19 returns. They rose up, went together, and off they go. This is how faith envisions it. And how are we to envision our faith? We reckon it that the conclusion of it will be exactly as God said it would be. And those accounts by the Apostle Paul in Romans, the anonymous writer of Hebrews, and James himself, giving those New Testament commentaries or narratives of this particular incident, all speak to some of the metric that went into the unfolding of this account here. And so one thing we know and one thing that we can take for our own hearts and soul's sake tonight is that while the men and the circumstances change from the scriptures to the present day, one thing does not change, and that is the same, that our God is the same God, and the faith that Abraham, we are able to take that and find the mirrored expression of that in our own hearts, because it all focuses on the God who does not change from generation to generation to generation. And where he asks us to do something, while we may not understand the logic of it or the rationale of it, we must conclude to proceed and let it play out exactly according to the providence of God. And God, we understand, never makes an error.